And our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks. She is the author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. Her most recent book is The Slow Death of the AIDS/Cancer Paradigm and The Apocrypha of the Eukaryotic Cell. Her website is nancybanksmd.com. Well, this DNA collection, and they really do, they make it sound like, they just really make it sound very appealing, and as you say, they gift wrap everything so that the people who fall for this are going to think it's a benefit for them, when in fact, it really isn't. And the fact that everyone who has been born since the administration of George W. Bush has had their DNA collected, oh, that is really bad. It makes you want to, well, for that reason and other reasons, to have home birth. And I'm sorry about that. I know that that's not something that everybody agrees with, but it certainly sounds like a good idea now.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say about DNA is that they're pushing the idea onto the American people that you can use your DNA. They're going to have these breakthroughs, and they're going to be able to these treatments based on this genetic determinism. But again, they're not telling people the truth about the DNA issue, because by 2001 they already knew that their theory of DNA as the causative factor in most diseases was wrong, because they had a particular idea of how DNA would respond and how it would develop in the cell, how it would change, how it would control the dynamics of the cell. And by 2001, because of certain findings that they had at that time, they realized that their theory of the genetic control of the cell was a false theory. But they're continuing to push on with that because the desire is not to be able to solve any disease problems, which they are not going to be able to do. The desire is to make people think that they are doing this so that they will continue to be compliant in turning their DNA over to these laboratories for testing, and so it works very well. The cause of most of the diseases that we are suffering from is either too many toxins or too few nutrients. It's that simple, and for most of us, it's a combination of both of those things, the powers that be actually know that, which is one of the reasons that they push so hard to suppress the information about simple things that most people can do, like making sure at this time of the year, rather than taking a flu shot, you can check your vitamin D level and make sure your vitamin D level is optimum, because there's an inverse relationship between your vitamin D. When your vitamin D goes down, your risk of getting the flu goes up. And that's because it's beginning to be wintertime and you're having less sunshine. And so those are simple things that people can begin to do. And they don't automatically do a vitamin D level when you go to your doctor for the blood work. And you have to ask for it. And the optimal level is not, they say, 25 to 60, but the optimal level is 50 to 60, not 20, because they say if it's 25, it's fine, but it's not. It's higher for disease prevention. It has to be at the higher level. And so most people can take 5,000 international units of vitamin D during the wintertime so they can keep their vitamin D level up. And it won't harm you. They tried to say that the D, A, K, and E are fat-soluble vitamins, and so they could be liver toxic, but believe me, they will help you get through the winter, and the toxicity is very low if you take them as prescribed, but not by the FDA, but by the alternative health practitioners.
Right. Now, what about when you go
the
in
FDA,
for...
The FDA... Go ahead.
What about if you go in for a blood test for something? Could the doctor or the lab technician. Take your DNA without letting you know and storing that? Storing your DNA?
Once they have your blood, they have your blood. They can do with it whatever they want.
Wow. Wow! So they're going to get it whether you send for a test to Ancestry.com or whatever.
Right, but most of the time when you go to the doctor, they're doing, you know, if they have they're doing a blood work, they're doing a hemoglobin, hematocrit, or what they call a SMAC test, where they do your, you know, sodium, potassium, those kinds of things. So most of the time when you go to the doctor, they're not sneaking around taking your DNA. But if you go into the hospital, say for surgery or an emergency or something, it could happen under those circumstances. Or, for example, if you get stopped on, now the police are allowed to do that. When they stop you, they're allowed to take a swab in most states.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And the other thing
The other thing is what?
Oh, I'm sorry, you cut out. And the other thing is, if they say, well, it's because of your DNA that you're sick, they're blaming the patient for their illness rather than the drugs that they might have been prescribed.
Yeah, as I said, there are very few real genetic diseases. The genetic diseases only account for about less than 5% of the diseases that people have. They're even telling people fallacies about breast cancer. They're saying that if you have this, you know, if you have these particular genes, your chance of getting breast cancer is, off the charts. And so they're convincing women to have bilateral mastectomies. Well, you may have an increased risk factor, but they never tell you how you can suppress those risk factors. They never tell you, for example, that perhaps you need some additional vitamin D, or perhaps you don't have enough iodine, or perhaps you are deficient in melatonin, or you're not having enough folate. Americans are one of the reasons Americans are so sick, because there are incredible deficiencies, not only because of how our farming is done, but also that over time, people have limited the types, the colors, and the types of food that they're willing to eat. And so the diets have become very limited, and as a result of the way the farming is done and the people limiting the types of food that they eat, there are severe nutritional deficiencies throughout the society.
Wow. In your book, you've talked about Nixon's war on cancer. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, this isn't the other reason that, because they, at the time that they were doing the Nixon war on cancer, was the height at the time when they were, it really wasn't a war on cancer. It was a war. It was a lot of money being thrown at scientists who are called virology. They have PhDs in what they call virology. And they were trying to prove that viruses cause cancer. And of course, viruses don't cause cancer, because what they're calling viruses are not a prophenomenon. They're not something that caused something. They're something that probably occurred after the cell is already diseased. And so what happened is that they spent billions of dollars and thousands of man hours trying to prove this particular idea. And when that idea didn't pan out, that's about the same time that these young men started showing up with these immune collapse. And that's when they said that, okay, the immune collapse is probably caused by a virus. Now, this is another crazy part of that. Cancer is a disease in which the cells multiply. And so the multiplication of the cells is out of control. And so what happens with cancer cells is that they grow and grow and grow. You know, the cancer grows and grows and grows. And ultimately, the cancer takes over the organ or the body, and that's how it kills people. But now they're saying the same virus that they claimed, you you know, last week was killing people because it was multiplying. Now they're saying that that virus is not actually causing cells to multiply, it's causing cells to die. And that's what the AIDS was, because they were saying the cells were now not multiplying, they were dying. And so the reason that people were getting sick is because the cells were dying. But the cells weren't really dying. The immune system has a balance shift. It has there are multiple types of immunity, but the two main types are called anti-humoral immunity, in which your cells produce antibodies to attack the germs on the outside of the cell. And then there's called cell-mediated immunity, where the cells actually use a nitric oxide gas to kill the viruses or the parasites that get inside of the cell. And there's a balance between these two types of immunity. And what happened is that there was a balance shift towards this humoral immunity away from the cellular immunity. And because the cellular immunity wasn't working properly, people developed diseases that were associated with a deficiency in cellular immunity. But they never had a problem with their humoral immunity. So it wasn't even a deficiency disease. It was an imbalance in the immune system. And they always knew that it was an imbalance in the immune system, not a deficiency.
Wow. I can't hear Dr. Spanks.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes, I can. You cut out. I don't know where. Anyway, yes, okay. Oh,
so
my
basically
goodness.
I was saying they always knew that it was an imbalance in the immune system and not a deficiency.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know, if you have a political agenda and if you have an economic agenda, then you can push that. And this is what they do. Remember anthrax on 2001?
Yes.
When they sent the anthrax to Capitol Hill.
Right.
Now, you would think one of the biggest questions that the American people should have asked is this: if nobody knew that there was going to be an anthrax attack, why was everybody in the White House on Cipro, which is the antibiotic to treat anthrax, why was everybody in the White House on Cipro before 9/11?
Well, now that's an interesting question.
And why did the Cipro, when they tested the anthrax, they found out the anthrax came out of an American laboratory. It was a modified, weaponized anthrax made here in the good old USA. It didn't come from a foreign laboratory. It came out of our own laboratories, and they were able to look at the strain of the anthrax and identify exactly where it came from. And they knew that. And the other thing is that if they knew, and then they sent that anthrax through a mail, through the mail, and the people on Capitol Hill, the people in the White House were on Cipro, the people in the postal office, I think they had about 5 people die in the post office.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
They never told the postal workers that they were infected, or that they could possibly be infected. And as soon as those letters arrived on Capitol Hill, they treated the people on Capitol Hill who got the letters, but they never treated the people in the post office. 5 people, I think 5 or 7 people died in the post office. And when they tried, the Judicial Watch, I think, took their case and tried to mount a lawsuit, they said you couldn't sue whoever, the government, because you just couldn't. And so those postal workers were killed by somebody here in the United States who was sending that stuff with an anthrax that was made in America. So, but the point that I'm making is that since that time, every 2 years since 9/11, there's been a scare, a viral scare to the American people. It was SARS, and it was the bird flu, then it was the pig flu, and then it was Ebola, and then it was, I mean, every 2 years. So this year, we're on track this year, because I don't think there was anything last year. So this year, and I know this year they're having a plague outbreak in Eastern Africa. So every 2 years since 9/11, there's been an outbreak of something or some kind of scare.
Indeed. A friend of mine told me that he was living in the Mexican town where that flu supposedly broke out right after Obama became president. Now, he became president in January and went to Mexico in March is when the and he had a chat with the government officials there, and 2 weeks later they had this supposed outbreak, which really wasn't an outbreak at all because nobody had the flu. But what they did was that they passed the same kind of law like the Patriot Act in Mexico as they had here in this country. So
yeah, and all of these attacks. Remember, these attacks all have an economic underlying economic or political reasons. For example, if you want to monopolize a particular industry, like if you're Purdue and you want to take over the chicken industry for the whole planet, you know, what do you do? You have your people on Capitol Hill, and you go like, oh yeah, there's going to be an outbreak and these chickens are not healthy. And so what you can do is you can go to another country, you can say, oh, those chickens are not healthy, and you can have the farmers kill all their chickens, and the next thing you know, the small farmers are out of business and the big farmers can come in and buy up your farm for pennies on the dollars. It's just you know what, it's called criminal activity,
right? And that does happen. That happens,
happens all the time.
Where certain restaurants are targeted and they lose business and they go out of business, and pretty soon,
and they've been targeting. They've been ever since Chipotle said it was not using GMO foods, and ever since they said they're going to have organic, they have been targeting that restaurant, because Chipotle never had a problem until they announced they were going organic. Then all of a sudden they went organic, and now they started having problems. And people need to pay attention, because that's how it works. If you want everybody to go on this horrible GMO food and not raise the issue of GMO food, and you have a whole industry saying that there's no difference between organic food and GMO food, and you're feeding the people this GMO food, and that's what you want, then you're going to target people who are going to say, this GMO food is probably not so good.
Right. Oh, gosh. And so this war on cancer, did that precipitate all the mammographies? Because I know that breast cancer has increased tremendously since the invention or the propagation of mammographies.
No, it wasn't. You know, this is what they want to do. Okay, they have no intention of solving any disease problem, because believe me, let me ask you something. You see all these very, very 1%ers living until they're 100 years old. You see the Rockefellers.
Right.
You see,
look at Kissinger's George, still
look at
alive.
George
for Soros,
Kissinger's still alive. All of these guys. Do you think these guys are getting the same health care as the rest of Americans?
I know they're not.
I'll answer that. No. And so, so they are keeping it, because if anybody should have died a long time ago with, as evil as they are, you would think this group of 1%ers would have hit the dust. But no, here they are running around. You know, George Bush apparently was at some gathering a few days ago, and he's still hitting up on girls. You know, he's still grabbing people. It was like, I mean, please. He's in a wheelchair.
Wow.
He's still grabbing people's behinds. I mean, really.
Wow.
So, but if they wanted, cancer could be cured.
Of course.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks. Her website is nancybanksmd.com. She's the author of two books, both of which you should own. All righty, you were talking about breast cancer before we went to the break.
Yeah, this is the thing about cancers. One of the things that I wanted to say is that most cancers are reversible. They have, you can go to the medical literature, and they've had many products which have shown incredible results on the early trials. But the problem is that these some natural products, some pharmaceutical products. But the problem is, in order to get a drug to market, it has to go through two to three phases. And the third phase is human trials. And they, when they find a cancer drug which works, it never goes through phase three. It gets stopped. And so you will read, you know, recently there's something called dichloracetic acid. It actually allows the cancer cells to reverse and to kill themselves, because as I said before, the cancer is sort of like the kill switch is shut off on cancer cells, and they just keep multiplying and multiplying. But if you can somehow turn on the kill switch, they will self-kill, and the cancer will reverse. And there was a compound that they were testing in Canada called dichloracetic acid, which basically showed the cancer is a reversible disease in most people, especially, and even some of the advanced stages. But every time there's a product that shows promise and that looks as if it could have incredible results, that drug never goes to a phase 3 trial. And so what they try to do, they continue to say that the only products that you can have are these incredibly expensive chemotherapeutic agents. One drug for a month's supply can cost $20,000 or $30,000. They're incredibly expensive. So they continue to say the only treatment is going to be radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery. And every time someone says, look, we're having, for example, many people are using cannabis oil, and they're getting incredible results, certain diseases with cannabis oil. But they're trying to, even though in many states cannabis oil is now legal, the FDA is still trying to shut those pharmacies, those cannabis stores down. And they're still trying to discredit it. So you would think, okay, we have all of these reports, these patient reports of disease, certain diseases. For example, kids who have lots of seizures. Some kids were having 30 and 40 seizures a day. Their parents are giving them cannabis oil, and they're not having seizures. Some people who have had cancers, that they've used cannabis oils, the cancers have disappeared. So if you have something like that, wouldn't you say, okay, if we had a rational medical system, the medical system would be looking scientifically at cannabis oil to see exactly which kind, which ones are working the best, and then we would begin to do trials, phase 3 trials, to see if this really can be used on a widespread basis for a particular kind of disease. But we're not doing that because is it possible to get a patent on cannabis oil? I don't think so, because there are too many products out there now. But one of the things that is happening, that has happened in the United States, and one of the ways people are making lots of money right now is to patent live things. Now, this is a relatively new notion, because before the Monsantos and the Syngentas became so powerful, the idea that you could patent a life, like patent DNA or patent a compound that you could find in a plant, that was a foreign notion. No one would think of that, because those are the kinds of things that were open to the world. Everybody had access to this knowledge. And so that was called the commons. And so the idea of the commons is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. And so we're getting to the point where we're identifying everything has to have an owner. If it, you know, like we're all little slaves, everything, every bit of us has to be owned by somebody. And so so people no longer like the idea of the commons. They like the idea of ownership, and they become inured to the idea of ownership. And that is a real problem, because we do have cures, but the cures will never get to the public.
Wow. All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on, and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks, and her website is nancybanksmd.com. She's written two books, and people should own both of them. Alrighty, you were talking about cancer, and I noticed just recently they canceled the Avon walk, and that organization, since its inception, has collected $69 million or more. And one must ask, we have these people walking, I think it's 39 miles or something, and people want to have a solution, and they're willing to walk all of these miles and donate money. And where does money go? It doesn't go for research, but people still want to feel like they're part of a solution.
Look, people do want to be, you know, one of the things that a lot of these companies that, you know, the red ribbons or the walkathons or whatever,
right.
Telethons, look, people are good-hearted. They
yes,
want
they
to help. They want to be part of the solution. But look, I'm telling you that the pharmaceutical industry was started by a guy who was a criminal.
Right.
And it's been that way ever since. Do you really think it's going to be different? Not only was the guy a criminal, then the next generation after him. So the father of John Rockefeller was a criminal. He was a straight up crook. He was a horse thief. And remember, at the time, in those days, if you're stealing a horse, that was a hanging offense.
Right.
And he was a rapist. And then he called himself a doctor, and he sold oil and told people that it was a cure for cancer. It's never stopped, and it's only become more sophisticated. So the role of the medical allopathic system is not to cure disease. And I want to make this clear. People need to understand this. The role of the allopathic system is to treat the symptoms of disease. And so the question is, if you know that that is the case, then if you have an organization like the Avon Walk and they're making lots of money and you find that the cancer rates are actually going up and not coming down, then you understand that most of that money for many of these organizations is going for overhead and for personnel, and very little of the money is going into research. And it certainly isn't going into the research that would be beneficial. For example, the things that I just said, almost every person who shows up with cancer is deficient in vitamin D. And so certainly breast cancer, vitamin D, folate, iodine, I mean, you can almost look at them. So the question is, are the two things that I talked about earlier, people are either have too many toxins or too few nutrients. And we can detox people through nutrition and through chelation. So we know how to begin to detox people, and we know how to replace the nutrition. But the third part of that also is a psychological part, because many people who develop cancer also have some underlying psychological trauma, which is being expressed physically. And so there are a lot of things that have to be taken care of, but the most important thing is for people to realize that you cannot give yourself over to someone. You have to take responsibility, and you have to begin to identify those things in your life that could have led to this crisis. And if you recognize that your body is basically saying, I'm in a crisis, I can't handle it anymore, then you go like, okay, I have this crisis, what do I need to do to reverse this crisis? And so rather than being frightened, we have to say, okay, our body is trying to tell us something, and what do I have to do to get out of this crisis?
Thank you. Oh, goodness. And of course, I mentioned mammography earlier, which seems like it's totally tyrannical to do that to a woman's breast, and it seems that it would cause more harm than good.
Well, the studies are showing that. The studies are showing that it's not reducing the, you know, because so this is the question you have to ask on any test that you're doing, for that, you know, because doctors love to test you for, because that's what they call prevention.
No, right.
Well, this is what they call. No, it's not everything. Let's not be broad. Let's talk about the concept of prevention. How they phrase it is that they want to do these tests in order to help you prevent a particular disease. But remember, a test cannot prevent a disease. The things that I talked about prevent the disease, but a test can only diagnose, because they say that if you diagnose early, you can prevent it. But the problem with mammograms is that it doesn't prevent cancer. It hasn't reduced the number of deaths from cancer, and it actually has increased the number of people who are getting unnecessary surgery. So if you look at a particular test and the test is not doing what it's supposed to do, then you have to reevaluate that test, or you have to get rid of that test. And you have to, you know, come up with some other modality that actually is going to function as a preventive. And at this point, they're not talking about preventing. They're only talking about early diagnosis, which is quite different than preventing.
Sure. And they screen for a lot of different diseases. And there's all kinds of, well, one, life screening incorporated that wants to send, you know, have everything screened. And what they're doing is they're screening for something to treat.
Yeah, they are. They are. For example, one of the diseases that is rampant in the United States right now is diabetes. And most of the diabetes is reversible. But most diabetics, and some part of it is on the part of the diabetics, because a lot of diabetics somehow have the idea that they can take their medication or their insulin or whatever the doctor puts them on and continue to eat whatever they want. I'm sure most diabetics are told that they need to change their diet. But what they're not told is that with certain drastic changes over the course of 1 to 2 months, most diabetics are able to reverse the process of diabetes completely. But you have to want to do that. It's not always easy, and sometimes it's a incredible lifestyle change. But as I said before, many of these chronic diseases are reversible, and they could be reversed. We could bring the cost of care down considerably, but not through simply doing more testing. The cost of care could be brought down by extending our care modalities to other than allopathic medicine, to homeopathy or to naturopathy, and to changing into lifestyle changes. But it's not happening at this point.
Right. Now, what would you do for a person with lymphoma, or what would you recommend for a person?
Well, I wouldn't recommend anything, because I'm not an oncologist, and I think that anybody who has a particular cancer, I'm not here to diagnose and treat
particular
types of cancer, so but, I think that's beyond the scope of this discussion.
Sure, but like just basically what you said before, lifestyle changes, increased vitamins, take iodine, that kind of thing, just taking control of your own health and improving your immune system would be a good start, right?
That would be a good start. There's always a good start to number one. I always say there's a three parts. Number one is detoxification. Number two is hydration. And number three is nutritional supplementation, or using or improve nutrition, and that sometimes is through mega doses of certain kinds of nutrients. But one of the things that people forget is that that our energy, most of the energy in our cells, doesn't come from a molecule called ATP. It comes from the water in our cells, because when water splits into the hydrogen and oxygen, it gives off an incredible amount of energy. And almost every person who has a chronic disease is dehydrated.
Oh.
No one ever talks about that. And so that's basically what my second book is about. It's looking at how energy is made and stored inside of our cells.
Okay, I just took a drink of water. I drink a lot of water every day. But that is true. People are dehydrated. They don't realize it. Could you, in your book, you talk about Kissinger and his big influence, what he has enabled simply with the Kissinger memo, the Kissinger National Security Memo 200, which I talked just briefly about a couple weeks ago. But the ramifications of it are so broad, and you mention Brent Scowcroft in your book, and how this became a matter of national security. It wasn't just it was a memo that was just recently revealed, revealed. Uncensored, and but it still has application for every administration since 1974, when it was first introduced.
Yeah, and it's been updated by the Bill and Melinda Gates foundations because basically, because Bill Gates has basically said there in some places there are too many, we feel that there are too many people. So when he uses the royal we, who is he talking about? He's talking again about the 1% who control the resources of the planet. So if there are people living on resources that you want, you figure out how you're going to get rid of them. And so you design strategies for depopulating the areas where you don't want people to be, because to you, as a globalist, the resources are more important than the people. And so people are expendable. And so Kissinger, the National Security Memorandum, basically outlined developing countries, mostly in Africa and South America, where there were too many people on the land that they wanted to have access to. And so that's what they do. And basically the same thing, that whole protocol has been carried forward through the Rockefeller Foundation, the Planned Parenthood types of programs, and now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with their promotion of vaccines and genetically modified foods.
Right. And also, countries are not allowed to receive any aid whatsoever unless they acquiesce to certain birth control requirements.
Yeah, I just talked, as a matter of fact, I was interviewed by a radio program in Jamaica recently. And this is what they're doing, because we were talking about the HPV, the human papillomavirus vaccine, which was produced by Merck, and I think GlaxoSmithKline has another one. They have two of them on the market. And the vaccines, it's a totally useless vaccine, and it's a harmful vaccine because it's killed many girls and it's caused autoimmune diseases, and it's crippled thousands of young girls all over the planet, to the point that the governments of India and Japan are no longer recommending it. But what is happening with the World Health Organization, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank is that in order for countries to obtain loans or to obtain help from the World Health Organization, they are now being required to do certain things. And one of those is to push these vaccines, the vaccine agenda, on their populations. And so you're absolutely right about that. They have also, remember what I told you about the human trials of drugs?
Right.
They have moved most of the human trials of drugs out of the United States, out of the European countries, and into places like India and Africa, where as many people as they want, kill as many people as they want. And because you don't have strong societies which can fight for the rights of their people, and many of these people are not the most sophisticated, so that you can come into a village, you know, you can have some new vaccine, and you can give, you know, thousands of kids vaccines, you can get lots of side effects, terrible side effects, you can have lots of deaths, and that's it. Then the drug company goes away, they don't pay any money, they don't, you know, they don't even say I'm sorry, they just, you know, test people like they're human guinea pigs, and they leave. And this is also a problem because they are almost never telling the truth about the negative effects of their products. They will whatever statistics that they can get that shows the effectiveness of their product, that's what they will now use to sell it in the Western countries. So that's what's happening with this allopathic system right now. So it's listen, the allopathic system was always based on the idea of eugenics, that there was a group of people who had the right to decide who could live and who could die. And they still feel that way. They're just much more sophisticated about it. You know, when Bill Gates can get up on stage and say there are too many people, and he can make a formula and said we can reduce the population by 15% if we use vaccines and do these other things. Basically, he's telling you he is promoting a depopulation agenda.
Of course, it's really obvious.
He's saying it. But it's not obvious to a lot of people, because a lot of people are out there saying, oh, he's such a philanthropist. He's so good. He wants to prevent diseases. But you and I know that how did diseases drop in the United States? Well, we'll talk about it after the break.
Right. All right. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I understand that 47,000 children in India developed polio after Gates had been there, or after his organization had been there giving out polio vaccinations. 47,000 children affected with polio.
Look, this is the other thing that is well known in the elite, the medical establishment. Vaccines did not contribute to the decrease in infectious diseases in the Western countries. So, and I like to stress this over and over again, what was happening in the West, and you can look at so they, because they like to look at the graphs like 50 years ago, you have to go back to the beginning of the last century and look at what was happening in the late 1900s, early 20th century. In the Western countries, they were developing better sanitation. They were developing, people were beginning to have enough food to eat. The working conditions were improving for people. Better housing and more access to clean water. And as a result, almost every type of infectious disease was falling rapidly. And they were falling rapidly before the introduction of either vaccines or antibiotics. And so we already know how, if you really are concerned about reducing infectious disease loads in developing countries, then it would be more important to provide clean water sources that are easily accessible than to vaccinate. It would be more prudent to, instead of kicking people off of their land, their ancestral land, so that you could mine some product that we need for our computers, it would be, and starting to make these mega farms, which they're doing everywhere, people could still have their ancestral lands and still grow their own food and still have their gardens. So the kind of problems that we're seeing in what we call developing countries are problems that were created by the systems that we think are such great systems. Because if you think it's okay to go to someone else's country, steal their land and take their resources and then not pay them sufficiently for those resources, then that's okay. Then you don't mind. And so what you're going to say is that, okay, we'll give you some vaccines, but we're not going to give you clean water and we're not going to let you farm and have the food that you need, but we'll give you vaccines. If that's your model, then that's your model. That's the logic of the model that is being used right now.
It's terrible. Oh. It is just it's inhumane. It's murder. It's genocide. It's every bad thing you can think of.
But, you know, and this is the thing, and I want people to understand, this model has been projected out into the world, but this model is coming back to haunt us in the United States, because as you well know, we are now suffering an opioid epidemic.
Yes.
Here in the United States. But, well, there are several things that I want to talk about the health of people in the United States.
Okay.
One is the water.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour, but let's do that. I want you to talk about the opioid thing. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.